Today's audio cast for Monday, October 23rd, 2006 is made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. Goings-on near the nation's capital had pilot chat rooms lighting up with speculation over the involvement of an apparent ADIS violation in the crash of a Piper PA-46 near Tipton Airport in Maryland that killed two people last Thursday. So far, authorities are only saying that the aircraft owned by Daniel L. Eberhardt, the CEO of a plastic recycling company in Illinois, crashed shortly after takeoff and burned in a wooded area near the airport. However, the recording of an exchange between the pilot of the aircraft and air traffic control indicates the aircraft had been ordered to land immediately after allegedly violating the Washington Air Defense Identification Zone, or ADIZ. On the ATC recording, a pilot using the registration number of the accident airplane asked for an in-flight IFR clearance. The controller responds by asking the pilot if his transponder is set to 1200, to which the pilot replies in the affirmative. "You are violating the ADIS. You need to land at Tipton immediately," the controller says. All aircraft operating in the ADIS are required to transmit a discrete transponder code, which is obtained either before takeoff or when getting clearance into the zone. Under the FAA's zero-tolerance policy for ADIS violations, the pilot was facing disciplinary action of some sort for the error, but the controller offered some hope that all the unpleasantness might be avoided. The detailed investigation of the accident is almost certain to probe whether the pilot, in reaching for that dangled carrot, lost control of the aircraft. The Honda Jet has been on sale for less than a week, and the Honda Aircraft Corporation says it already will be looking at boosting production of the twin jet, which won't be certified until 2010. In a news release, Honda said it took deposits on more than 100 orders for the $3.65 million plane during the three-day National Business Aviation Association convention in Orlando last week. "Due to this overwhelming response, we are now considering an increase in our production plan to meet the needs of our customers," said Honda Aircraft CEO Michimasa Fujino. One of the major selling points of the Honda Jet is the company's claim that the aircraft will be up to 35% more fuel efficient than comparable aircraft. The efficiency comes from the clean sheet engine design Honda created in a collaboration with GE and from the unique placement of the engines on wing-mounted pylons. Honda says the engine arrangement reduces drag and improves airflow. "It also makes the Honda Jet more comfortable," the company claims. Fuselage-mounted engines require a lot of structural, electrical, and plumbing gear behind the cabin bulkhead, thus robbing the fuselage of space that could be used for creature comforts. Honda says its cabin is bigger than some light jets, and the engine arrangement allows for what it calls a full privacy lavatory in the back. There are plenty of CEOs who do more than handle the purse strings. Many of them also sit in the left seat of the company plane. And AOPA has taken direct aim at them in its latest offensive in the fight against user fees. In a recent edition of Chief Executive Magazine, privatization champion Robert Poole of the Reason Foundation wrote a column on his contention that user fees are the most equitable way to fund the aviation system and that airlines should control it. AOPA President Phil Boyer said in a news release that AOPA asked for equal space to rebut Poole but was denied, so the organization bought a full-page ad. Boyer said Poole may have misjudged his audience when he wrote, "Don't let your chauffeurs, the corporate flight department, speak for you." A made-in-the-U.S. light sport aircraft that has many of the design and technology features of the European models that still dominate the sector took its first flight in Payton, Colorado last week. The mock-up of the Nexair LS-1 turned heads at EAA AirVenture a couple of years ago with its swooping fuselage and high-visibility cockpit. Although it will be restricted to 120 knots like other LSAs, the all-composite LS-1 looks like it could go faster and might go head-to-head with the sporty designs that have landed in the U.S. from offshore, mainly from Eastern Europe, since that category was approved 2 years ago. "Today we took a small step, but we're celebrating a great accomplishment," said Nexair CEO Paul Klon. Well, we'll agree with Steve Chambers that there are few things scarier than a plane crash scene. But neighbors and complete strangers by the hundreds are converging on his West Hills, California home for a look at what that might be like. Chambers, with help from a few buddies and an undetermined amount of beer, isn't disappointing them with a good-sized section of a Gulfstream 3 bizjet as its centerpiece and replicas of severed body parts for the dramatic touch. Chambers' Halloween display is the talk of Southern California. Greg Andrachek, an officer with the Los Angeles Police Department, told the Los Angeles Daily News, "It caught my eye. I thought a plane had crashed, and when I spoke to the owner, he advised me that he was setting up a Halloween display." With its meteoric stock price increases and recent acquisitions such as YouTube, it's generally assumed that Google can buy just about anything. But could it really pluck a treasure from the National Air and Space Museum and use it as a bauble in the lobby of its Mountain View, California headquarters? The answer, thankfully, is no. Internet tech sites were buzzing Saturday with rumors that Google had purchased Spaceship One to hang in Building 43 at its headquarters. Even the rumor-prone geek sites were a bit sheepish about running the news, but they also weren't about to be caught flat-footed with this juicy bit of techno-gossip like most apparently were with the YouTube takeover. So in the interests of good journalism, and just in case it was true, AvWeb emailed Spaceship One designer, builder, and project engineer Bert Rutan, who seemed a bit puzzled by the inquiry. "Only thing I know about this is that a replica of SS-1 has been purchased from the XPRIZE folks so Google can hang it in their lobby," Rutan responded. Air taxi provider SatsAir last Tuesday said it is soon expanding service to include Florida as part of the company growth plan. Additionally, SatsAir placed an order with Cirrus Design for 50 Cirrus SR-22s and an option on 50 more. "We're excited about expanding our fleet and service area to include Florida," said SatsAir President and CEO Steve Hanvey. He said the decision was customer-driven and that the company has seen a tremendous level of interest from people living in Florida. So according to Hanvey, starting November 1st, the company will now provide point-to-point on-demand service at over 100 airports throughout the state. Firewall Forward Technologies of Loveland, Colorado is now supplying modified camshafts for Lycoming 320, 360, and 540 series engines. It says dramatically reduce premature cam and lifter failures. The Centralube cam distributes oil directly to the lifter face from holes drilled in the cam lobes, and the result is increased lubrication, reduced temperature, and less wear. Similar technology has been used in high-performance automotive and marine engines for decades. Customers can either buy a cam from Firewall Forward or have their existing cam STC modified. Find all these stories and more online today at avweb.com. Be sure to check for our special interview with Dale Clapmeyer of Cirrus Design about an aviation consumer feature on how Cirrus's first production aircraft has held up over all these years. The complete article is available at aviationconsumer.com. Comments on this podcast are always welcome. You can just email us at audionews@avweb.com. This report was made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Look for AvWeb's next AudioCast on this Friday, October 27th. Mike Blakeney, thanks for listening.